Attention, mill spouses, families, and service members. It's now time for another empowering episode of Army Wife Talk Radio, the leading and longest-running podcast of its kind. AWTR is here to engage, educate, and encourage you by sharing dynamic interviews, social media connections, news, and empowering military life information. Here are your AWTR hosts, your Army Wife Network command team.
Hi, my name is Kathleen Palmer. I'm the content editor for Army Wife Network, and I'm here to talk to you a little bit about the challenge we have with meeting new people or gathering as a group for the first time. After 25 years of unit functions, coffee groups, FRG, FSG, yes, I am seriously that old that I remember the FSG, steering committee meetings, fundraisers, you name it, we've been there. I've had plenty of opportunities to experience that social awkwardness, that 7 seconds of uncomfortable silence. And I wanted to talk to you about maybe if you've been in that situation as well and meeting people for the first time and how you can kind of come up with ways to make that a little bit less awkward. And that 7 seconds of uncomfortable silence is a scientific phenomenon. And there's a few links being dropped right now that actually talk a little bit about that. So I would like to also talk to you a little bit about icebreakers that can help with your group and do that different type of thing. So I would also remember for you to remember that all these things, the links that we're talking about, they're all dropped in the comments and they also can be in the show notes once this goes on AWN, Army Wife Network. So let's get started. The first thing I want to talk about is the conversation starters, and that is what you do to break the silence. So the first thing you have to ask yourself is how comfortable are you with silence? Now for me, I'm a chatty Kathy, and I don't even like to get on the elevator and have it silent, so I will have to say that 7 seconds is way too long for me. So you have to ask yourself where you fall underneath that thing. And I would also like you to ask yourself, like, think of people in your life that are very comfortable with awkward silence. Like, my husband's one of them, and it drives me crazy. So you need to find a balance somewhere in between people who talk too much too soon or maybe wait too long and find out that balance for you. So there's some ways to overcome that awkward silence. And the first way I want to talk about is conversation starters. And you have to not be afraid to start that conversation. So that's the first thing to think about is you need to come into these events and to these activities with some conversation starters in mind, especially if that's not your jam and you don't like to, you know, ask people questions. The first thing I would say is that if you would just really think about not asking closed-ended questions. So for example, like, how many kids do you have? 2. Okay, that's the end of it, you know? And so kind of that kind of stops right there. So you want to ask questions that are a little more open-ended that can maybe lead to a little bit more conversation. So one of the things, if you want someone to ask somebody about themselves, maybe tell me about you, what's your story? And saying, asking somebody what their story is kind of cool because it gives them a start point. So it's like, maybe they're going to tell you how they got to be an Army wife or a military spouse and kind of lead into what brought them to where they are currently. So you never know about someone's story. So maybe ask what their story is and kind of get them into that. That would be really great. The second thing is, instead of asking, like, you know, where'd you come from, you know, might want to say, hey, you know, did you do anything exciting this summer? Well, I'm sure you're going to get a few PCS stories. Those are always exciting, especially this summer. So you might want to throw that question in there too. What exciting thing have you done lately? What trips have you taken? You know, kind of give more of a background so they can actually answer that question. And then the third one I like to always keep in mind is too, I like to ask people what they're passionate about. I mean, it sounds kind of cheesy, like, you know, what are you passionate about? But you can say, hey, are you working on any projects or is there anything you like to do, you know, that you're really passionate about? You're going to find people will share their passions with you. If it's cross stitch, which is not mine, but a lot of people do like to cross stitch. It could be maybe they have an MLM on the side. You never know what side hustles people have. It might be that they just, you know, finished a marathon. You never know what their passions are. So asking them, throwing that word out there kind of ignites that, you know, what is your passion? And the last one I'd like to talk about is if you've been invited to an event, I like to ask them, hey, how do you know the host? Or how do you know so-and-so who's throwing this thing? Because actually sometimes that gives you a lot of common ground when you realize where you know somebody from or who you know together. So just asking about the host is also a good way to kind of reflect the topic off yourself and maybe, you know, change coming off of what you were talking about before. So don't be afraid to start the conversation. have a few conversation starters in your head. In the links below, there's a few conversation starters websites. I really like the Science of People website because it gets into the psychology of conversation starters. So if you're really into that, it might be good, but it's great to have a few. I mean, I remember one time I couldn't think of anything to say, so I went to like a journal topic I gave my kids, and it said, hey, you know, what would you do if you were on an island for 24 hours? I mean, really? I mean, how awkward is that? I'm sure I made everybody awkward at that point. So anyway, I think that those kind of things, having those in mind, will lead you into a social situation with a little more armor. So we'll stop with that with conversation starters. Okay, so now I want to move into if you are planning or hosting an event or a meeting. Icebreakers are super important. So I've used all the icebreakers that I'm talking about over the years, and I am a high school teacher as well, so I've used them in the classroom, but all icebreakers can be adapted to fit an age range or a dynamic or, you know, the people that are in your group. So kind of know your group and think about it before you plan what you're doing. You're always going to have what I call reluctant volunteers, and I've been one, so I'm going to speak to that. If you have people coming to your meetings or coming to your events and they're just coming because everybody else is going, or, you know, they don't really want to be there, you have to keep them in mind when you plan icebreakers, and making your icebreakers super fun that even the reluctant volunteers want to join in, that's a big victory. And if you can do that, that's actually a really great thing. So these are my tried and true favorite icebreakers. So you've already thought about your conversation starters, and now when you are taking it to the next level and you have people coming to your events, these are things that you can implement. The first one is two truths and a lie. Now, this one can be done to death. I've seen it done at many, many different events, but it actually is a pretty good one. So there's two ways to do it. So the premise is you give everybody an index card and they write three statements about themselves. The first, you know, two of the three are true and then one is a lie. And then people have to kind of guess which one of your statements is a lie. And so what I like to do is I like to have them write them on an index card when they come in and then drop it in a box. And then I'll read them, or whoever's hosting the event will read them out loud, and we try to guess who is what. That's one way to do it. Another way is that you can actually have everybody keep their own card and have them stand up and read. And that's another way to do it too. But some people don't like to do that, so you have to kind of, again, keep in mind, have options for that. The third way to kind of take this game and icebreaker into something different is if you're the group leader and you really don't know many people in your group. A great way to do this is to actually expand it and come up with a printed sheet about yourself that are 10 statements. Two are going to be lies, so I call it 80% of the truth. And you pass them out to everybody, and then they can break into groups, and they can actually, they have to determine which two of your statements are a lie. And when you have more statements, it's a little bit harder, but it also gets them talking. They're talking about you. They get to know you a little bit, especially if you're going to be in a leadership position. That really helps them out a lot too. So it's a little bit of fun. You got to take one for the team if you're going to do it in a big way. So two truths and a lie can be done small scale or can be done big. Depends on your situation. The next one is my favorite. It's called I Want My MTV, and I am a chick of the 80s, I'm not gonna lie. So I kind of adapted this one to fit that. But you find 5 to 10 popular songs from the 80s, and it's not hard, and they're pretty well known. And then you take the lyrics, print them off, and you cut them up into little strips. And then you only do like the chorus part. You don't have to do the whole song. And you throw them in a bowl. So when people come into the event, they pick a lyric out, and then they spend the rest of the 15 minutes before you start walking around trying to find the rest of their lyrics. And so eventually they'll come together as a group with their lyrics. And it's a little bit more fun than bingo, like have you ever been to Hawaii or whatever. And so it actually, you know, people sing, they reminisce, they talk about things. And then some groups I've made them sing the song, but you don't have to do that. You have to read your group. But so it's just a good way for when people are standing around waiting for something to start, it gives them something to do and a way to meet people. And that really is the benefit of a lot of our functions, is you get to meet people and form relationships. And so it's just a fun way to do it. And you can use any song if you want to hit the millennial generation. I wouldn't even begin to know what to tell you, but I'm sure they have some really catchy songs too. All right, number three, I call Facebook Wedding Live, and instead of stalking each other's Facebooks and trying to find things out about each other, we can just bring it to the group or bring it to the event. And I actually will ask them to bring a picture of their spouse, or they can pull it up on their phone. And then, you know, you can either do small groups with this, or you can again do a large group and then have everybody stand up for a minute and tell a little bit about their spouse, so they can actually say, hey, this is where I met my spouse, or this is where we got engaged, or this is where we honeymooned, or how long they've been married, etc. So it just gives you a little bit of a way to show why you're connected to the military. And I think that's important. You know, we have to remember that we all come with somebody, and that's why we're in these groups together. So just another little fun way to do that. Number four, I hope I'm not going too fast. I've got 100 of them, but I just tried to pull 7 down that I thought would be 7 seconds of awkward silence, 7 activities. But this one's called the Candy Confessional. And this was an easy one to do, but you can expand on it as well. So it's when you come into a room, have a big bowl of candy, and maybe throw 4 or 5 different types of candy, Skittles, Hershey bars, Butterfinger, and then have people take which one they want when they come through. That's their favorite. Instruct them to do that. And then you can break them into the groups according to what they chose. And maybe there's a task assigned to that group, like you guys come up with fundraiser ideas for October, or you guys come up with this, or you can just do something fun, like just simple questions that go along with each candy bar, and give them time to get to know each other while they eat their candy bars. So again, my high school students love this one, but it is just a real easy way to get people to start talking. Number five, I'm sorry, this is one of my favorites. I love this one. If you played Bunko, this one may resonate with you, is speed dating. So you set up in advance a line of tables. Well, if you don't have tables, I would just do chairs, and you can even stand. So you give everybody a designation of A or B when they walk in the door, and then you have them stand in a row, and then you have the A's on one side and the B's at a conversational distance across. And if you have chairs, it makes it a little less awkward. And so when you start the timer, they've got 30 to 45 seconds to actually talk to the person, you know, in front of them. And then you have them move after 45 seconds or so, and the bees just rotate down. So eventually everybody will have met or will have speed dated with everyone in the room. If you have a large group, this can be a little tough, and so you won't get to everyone, but you can actually, you know, start it and do it for a little while. I like to do a little stressy one with my kids. I like to start them at a minute, because a minute's really awkward to try to talk to somebody for the first time. And then I like to go down to 45, 30, and then 15 and 10, and it gets a little fun towards the end. But again, you have to read your group on doing something that has pressure with it. Okay, so that's speed dating number five. Number six is a variation of Dirty Santa. I call it Dirty Coffee Cups, and it's a little weird, but bear with me. So before, you can also do this not just with coffee cups. You can use tchotchkes like magnets or whatever else too. But I like coffee cups. So the first thing you do is you need to make sure everyone knows to bring a coffee cup in a brown paper bag to the meeting or to the event. And so you kind of do the same premise as Dirty Santa. You line them all up and you draw numbers, and then you know, go pick a bag, and whatever's in that bag you have, and someone can steal or take another bag. And usually you set the steals like you do in Dirty Santa, because your group can be too large and take too long. But the coffee mugs are fun because, number one, everybody's got a ton of coffee mugs in their cupboard. And come on, you know, you have something to finally do with that awkward, you know, hey, all I went to Arizona and all I got was this coffee mug, or I don't drink coffee before 10 a.m. or don't talk to me or whatever. And, you know, so it's just a way to kind of clear out your cupboard or bring something fun. Also, someone will always invariably bring a beautiful Polish pottery coffee mug, which everyone fights over and steals 3 times back. So you have that as well too. And I always bring extra coffee mugs, you know, in brown paper bags in case someone forgot, because you don't want anyone to feel left out. So that's just something that I like to do. And in people stealing and reading the mugs, and there's a lot of laughter, and it's just a simple, easy, non-expensive way for people to participate in that. So Dirty Coffee Cups, try it. A lot of fun. Number seven is the last one. And again, this icebreaker is probably a little more complex, and I probably wouldn't do it with a first time meeting group. But as you get to know people and you feel like you need to bond a little bit deeper, I would do this icebreaker. And this is called the escape room style competitions. It kind of came to me because I was at Fort Hood, and we did a escape room as an FRG during a deployment. And it was fantastic because we didn't know each other all that well, but we were all experiencing the same hardship, and it was a tough deployment. And we went and did an escape room as a very big group and just found out so much about each other. I mean, just, you know, you see people's skill sets, you see people's, you know, natural abilities when you're in an escape room. And so that kind of came to my brain, like, well, we could do this on a smaller scale. And so there's a lot of competitions you can do that last about a minute. And there's a website called minutetowinit.com. It used to be a game show. And so if you go onto that website, you can find these 1 minute competitions you can do in small groups. Now you have to also read your group. Some of them are time pressured, so that may, you know, be awkward for some people, but they're just fun little competitions that you can do to kind of bring a group together. So you see people's personalities a little bit more. It could also be something simple, like give everybody a big sheet of butcher paper and say, okay, in your candy confessional groups, go ahead and get in those candy groups. I want you to draw a map of Fort Hood or whatever post that you're assigned to. And it's funny because, you know, you have all these people that, you know, are trying to give direction and do different things. There's always someone who can draw. That's awesome and can do that. So there's many ways that you can implement these little competitions or these little puzzles with your groups. And again, if you have an escape room in your community, it's a little bit pricey, but it is a really fun way to bring people together. And that is the end of my 7 activities. There's a ton more, and in the comments below, there's a bunch of activities. Socialtables.com is a great one. There's a couple that actually have to do with office settings that you can adapt to FRGs or more social events as well. So, many more, but those are the 7 that I have used over and over again that I found people really enjoyed. So I wanted to share that with you. And that about wraps it up. So thank you for listening today on Army Wife Talk Radio. And I'd love to hear your ideas for icebreakers and other conversation starters. Maybe you have some good ones, so you can drop them in the comments, or you can email me at Kathleen, KathLeen, at armywifenetwork.com. And as always, we're here to serve you as an empowerment resource at Army Wife Network. So visit us on our website and tune in to our Facebook Lives and our Army Wife Talk Radio. And thanks for being here today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for tuning in to Army Wife Talk Radio. The views and opinions expressed in our show are personal. AWTR is in no way affiliated with the Department of Defense or any other branch of the armed services. Inclusion in our show does not reflect endorsement by the DOD, any local government, or their agencies. Until the next episode, head over to armywifenetwork.com to connect with all of our engaging resources. Engage, educate, encourage. AWN is your source for military life empowerment.